The unions had kept up a steady drumbeat over the past few days, asking automakers to seriously consider a closure. How long did it take the big three to come around?
I would say 48 hours plus about a day and a half. There was a meeting on Sunday convened by the president of the United Auto Workers, Rory Gamble, actually a phone call, with the CEOs of the three auto companies and the relevant vice presidents on both sides of the table, in which the union laid out their concerns. They were getting a lot of pressure from below, from the floor, from local leaders. There was a grievance filed in Local 600, which is over in Dearborn, a big, old, and powerful local, saying this isn't right and our people shouldn't be made to work. Plus the fact is that the automakers had told their white-collar workforce, work remotely if you can, unless you're in some kind of critical work where you need to be in, say, an engineering studio or whatever the case may be. So they had that they had to contend with as well. The auto companies, particularly GM, I think, wanted to continue to operate, thought that they understood how to keep the plants clean. They'd been through this in China with their plants. They'd been through it in South Korea. They had a pretty good understanding of managing it, they thought. That was not, however, going to translate here in the United States, particularly when you started to get reports of individual workers testing positive for COVID-19.
Right.
As a result, I think people start getting kind of wigged out. You had a person at Jefferson North for FCA, downtown Detroit, who vomited, and nobody wanted to clean it up. Nobody wanted to get close to it. Now, vomiting is apparently not part of the symptoms of COVID-19, but
People are nervous
and jittery. And I think they were getting to a point where the UAW was not going to be able to, quote, control their people as they were contractually bound to do. And I think also you had, for example, at Ford, their new chief operating officer, Jim Farley, paid a visit yesterday morning to Dearborn Truck and talked with the workers. And he could sense the concern and that this was a problem. And I think as managers and executives, they kind of came to the conclusion, we have to listen to our people at the end of the day.
So is anybody talking about how long these closures will be in effect yet?
Yeah, I mean, in essence, it's about 2 weeks, about the end of the month. It depends a little bit, depending on the company. I think the general feeling was because of the way the relationship between the United Auto Workers and the three companies is, all three companies felt they had to go down together. Now, they may go down in a different fashion, but they'll ultimately get to the same place. When they come back, I think will have more to do with their own assessment of the situation. I think GM said that they would go down till about the 27th or the 30th, and then they would evaluate it on a week-to-week basis. So, I mean, I think it's entirely possible, depending on the state of play in Michigan and other states of the disease, that they could come back at the end of the month. They may be, you know, the first, second week of April. I think that all remains to be seen. But it's important for people to understand, for every week those plants are down, it has a major hit on the GDP of the state. Michigan makes more vehicles than any state in the country. So it has a knock-on effect that will compound the longer these plants are not operating. Because if plants are not producing vehicles, they're not selling vehicles to the dealer body, and revenue happens for an auto company when the product leaves the plant, not when it's bought by a consumer.
I don't know if there's anything in the union contract about epidemics, but will workers be compensated during this time?
Yes, I think it's contractual language that in general terms means that people get unemployment and they get what's called SUB, which is an acronym for Supplemental Unemployment Benefits under the contract.
Yeah. It feels like it wasn't really that long ago that Michigan's automakers were dealing with the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. How would you rate their fiscal health right now?
A lot better. Than it was. I wrote a piece about this earlier in the week, and they can burn about, it's estimated by Morgan Stanley, they would burn about $4 to $5 billion a month, GM and Ford each, meaning they've got the cash and liquidity to operate in an environment where you have like 90% decline in revenue for 5 to 6 months. That sounds like a long time, but it's not necessarily. And They could get into distress, but not nearly as quickly, I don't think, as they did. And it's important to note for your listeners, Ford just this morning abandoned their guidance for 2020 and is moving to cut their dividend, mm-hmm. Eliminated actually, because they're trying to conserve cash. And I don't think that's going to be the first time you're going to see that happen. They're drawing down on their credit lines.
Has that happened since the recession? Is this the first time they've had to make a move like that?
I don't want to say first time, but they did a lot of that. I mean, certainly the way that Ford was able to avoid bankruptcy is that they had essentially mortgaged the business to the tune of $25, $26 billion, including mortgaging the Blue Oval itself as a trademark. And they're doing that, some of that now. So if they've got, these companies have got credit facilities that they're able to draw on, it's just as if you had a credit line at the bank and you went and took down, you know, however much, $50,000, and put it in your savings account. So now you've now got the cash if you need it. And that's essentially what the Ford and other companies are doing.
Are any of the lessons that the automakers learned during that time applicable to what's going on right now?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the real honest answer is I don't know. They need financial flexibility. They know that. They need to move quickly. They can't be in denial, which I think we saw in 2008 and 2000, or the run up to 2008 and 2009, which was, you know, things can't get that bad. We can't go bankrupt. People won't buy cars from bankrupt companies, which turned out not to be true, particularly if they got through bankruptcy really quickly, which is what happened with GM and Chrysler at the time. But I think reckoning with the world as it is, not as you want it to be, is one of the great lessons for the auto companies of 2008 and 2009. And I think that the people running these companies are much more realistic about the world than their forebears were, who tended to be products of the, if you want to say, the greatest generation, when Detroit kind of ruled the world, and you know, those kind of things could never befall Detroit. Well, we now know that's not true. Yeah. And I think in the environment that we're in now, it's a very pitiless environment. You know, when you shut down an economy, the largest economy in the world, effectively, I mean, it's not totally shut down, but it has a major knock-on effect, as we see in the financial markets, which are trying to price in what the recession is going to look like, how long it's going to last, how deep it's going to be. And that's why you've got a lot of confusion at this point.
When the automakers had their moment of cardiac arrest more than a decade ago with the recession, Michigan was hit very mm-hmm. hard. Mm-hmm. Since then, Governors Granholm, Snyder, and now Whitmer have stressed the need to diversify the state's economy so that everything does not hang on the health of car makers. Do you think we've been successful enough on that front in the intervening years to have less concern this time?
Yine, as they say in Germany. I would say this. Yes, they have, and I'd have to subdivide those governors. Some have been more intent on diversification than others. Jennifer Granholm focused a lot more on that. And really her 8 years in office were coincident to the so-called lost decade, largely because the auto companies were finally coming to terms with the fact that they had way too much capacity. It was sucking down way too much money, so they were closing plants and cutting jobs and over a very long period of time, and that happened to coincide with when she was governor. Yes, we've had some diversification. Yes, you've got a much more vibrant economy, I think, that's not just automotive. And the auto companies employ a heck of a lot fewer people, particularly in their plants. I mean, it's all about 150,000 between GM, Ford, and FCA in the United States, which is a fraction of what it was just 10 years ago. So, but the government has also really reinvested in the industry, and the industry has reinvested in Michigan. Your listeners know that there's been a lot. I mean, FCA's done it in Detroit. GM is doing it in Detroit. Ford is investing in Corktown and in the train station, and they're investing in their home. So that means that what happens, they are more concentrated here than they've been in a very, very long time. So whatever happens to the industry, we're going to feel it here. Michigan makes more vehicles than any other state in the union.
Daniel, what's all this I hear about automakers possibly retooling idled factories to make ventilators. Is that actually feasible?
That's a great question. I've got one of our colleagues working on a story on that. And I, in fact, right before I came on the air with you, I was reading a story in the New York Times about ventilators and how hard it is to ramp up production. That these are complex medical machines that can keep people alive if they get into a very extreme situation with this virus. I thought it was, when I heard this yesterday, Larry Kudlow, the president's economic advisor, mentioned this, I think it was on Fox News, and that he had talked with two CEOs of the auto companies and that they were looking at this. I was like, wow. So the first thing I think of is Arsenal of Democracy, right?
Yeah, of
course. How the auto companies retooled and
to make battleships and tanks.
Yes, and tanks and planes and trucks. And all three of these companies, if you look at their history, each one of them played a role in World War II in the so-called Arsenal of Democracy. If these companies know how to do anything, it's to manufacture at scale. Now, whether this actually happens or not, I think remains to be seen. I also saw a headline today that GE Healthcare is ramping up. They're a provider of this. But the question is how quickly, given the speed with which this is running, how quickly they can make a difference in any way, shape, or form. But I do think the leadership of both GM and Ford, for sure, would be very disposed to looking at this and trying to do their part if, in fact, there is a way they can find a way to do their part.
Daniel House is a columnist and associate business editor at the Detroit News. Daniel, good to talk to you.
Thank you.